Regular bell choir practice is still Thursday at 1 p.m. But what I want to highlight today is Wednesday, 6:15, soup supper, 7 o'clock worship over at Union Congregational. So I hope that you sign up for, well, we have bread, and I think we have lots of bread and probably don't need too many people to sign up for that. But we have other sign-ups in the future because after this Wednesday, the soup supper will be here for 2 weeks in a row. That means that we need soup from you. Soups, chilies, all those sorts of lovely things. So if you want to sign up for that. And then the very last week, we will be back over at St. Luke's Episcopal Church. So please join us. It's a good time of fellowship. It's a good time to try out other foods. A good time not to have to make dinner because dinner is already there. So please join us. Do we have any other announcements? If not, please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who writes the law on our hearts, who draws all people together through Jesus, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Held in God's mercy, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy God, we confess that we are caught in the snares of sin and cannot break free. We hoard resources while our neighbors are hungry and cold. We speak in ways that silence others and are silent when we should speak up. We keep score in our hearts and let hurts grow into hatred. For all the ways we have not loved you with our whole hearts and have not loved our neighbors as ourselves, for all our sins, those we name aloud and those only you know, forgive us, Lord. Amen. Hear of the abundant outpouring of God's grace. Out of love for the whole world, God draws near to us, breaks every snare of sin, washes away our wrongs, and restores the promise of life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, number 796, How Firm a Foundation. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, 15 through 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read responsibly Psalms 22, 23 through 31. You who fear the Lord, give praise. All Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all your offspring of Israel.
For the Lord does not despise the Lord, the Lord of the mighty. Neither is the Lord's taste of the flame. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them.
From you comes my praise in great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The Lord shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May their hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For the kingdom belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
Indeed, all who sleep the earth shall bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to the people yet unborn, saying to them, The Lord has acted. The second reading is from Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those that share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, "So numerous shall your descendants be." He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him in righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to be him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for the trespasses, and was raised for our justification. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The prayers of intercession.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any of you want to become my followers, let him deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week we talked about covenants. Remember that? Remember the difference between a covenant and a contract? What happens when a contract is broken by one side? The other side no longer needs to perform. But when a covenant is broken by one side, the other side still performs. So today we deal with another covenant. Last week we talked about Noah. And remember the symbol that was given to him. The rainbow, a reminder to God, a reminder to all people of God's promise not to destroy the earth again that way. And then we get to the promise that God made to Abraham. And God makes his promise over and over and over again to Abraham. And I'm sure that Abraham kept wondering, "And Lord, when are you going to fulfill this promise of yours?" Because today we heard from Genesis chapter 17. But this promise began long before that. It was back in Genesis chapter 12. And it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran and set forth to go to the land of Canaan. So he's 75 years old when God tells him that God will make of him a great nation. And the time passes. And the time passes. And the time passes. And still, Abram and Sarai have no children. So how is this promise supposed to be performed? Now, how many of you are old enough that you no longer expect to have children? Can you imagine when you are 75 years old as a man, and about 10 years younger than that, about 65 or so, God telling you that you're going to start to have children? Yeah, I'm seeing the heads go, And Abram and Sarai believe this promise, but they're wondering, when is this going to happen? We're just getting older as time goes on. We are not getting any younger, God. So how is this supposed to happen? And after a while, they start to really wonder. And so in chapter 15, we hear that the Lord comes to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram, because by this time he's thinking, I'm going to have to give all of my goods to my servant. Maybe that's how God's going to fulfill this promise. It's somehow through my servant this is all going to happen. So God comes to him in a vision and says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abram said, oh, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. And then God brought Abram outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And we're told Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. And the time passes. And the time passes. And still Sarai is barren. And so they decide to take matters into their own hands. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, you see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my slave girl. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, so 10 years have passed. He's 85 years old. So he goes to the slave girl, and she conceives. And when she notices that she has conceived and her mistress has not, she has contempt upon her. And Sarai says to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my slave girl to your embrace, and when she saw that she'd conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. It's like, what a situation to be in. But Abram said to Sarai, your slave girl is in your power. Do to her as you please. And Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she ran away. This is not going well. We know that Hagar gives birth to Ishmael. But this is not the fulfillment of the promise. God had told Abram that he and Sarai would have a child, and Ishmael is not that child. And so now we get to today's reading, where God comes to Abram once again, and once again tells him that he is faithful to his promises. When Abram was 99 years old, okay, how many of you men at the age of 99 want to have children? Do you want a baby at 99? When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations." Abram's heard this so many times before. When he was 75 years old, he heard it. He's 99 years old, he's hearing it again. And God says, "You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations." And then God changes his name. "No longer shall your name be Abram," which is high father, "but your name shall be Abraham," which means father of multitudes. "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and in your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for perpetual holding, and I will be their God." And God says to the man now known as Abraham, "And as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations." And that covenant is the covenant of circumcision, so that they remember in their flesh the promises of God. And then you can imagine, Abraham still wonders, when is this going to happen? But it does. For God says to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her." It says, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed," which is probably what I would do. I may maybe not fall on my face when I'm 99 years old, because it's a little hard to get back up. But he's laughing, and he says to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old?" If he's 99 now, this child is going to be born when he's 100 years old. "Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, still bear a child?" Imagine she'll be 91 when this child is born. I've heard it said that menopause is given to us because if we have a child when we're too old, we will put it down and forget where we left it. But here she is. She's going to be 91 years old when she has this baby. And Abraham says to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in your sight." And God says, No. I told you, not Ishmael, but a son born to you and to your wife, now known as Sarah. This is the promise that I made to you, and I'm going to keep this promise. And I have to wonder how this is going to happen. But we know what happens, don't we? That there is a visit by three men who are treated with hospitality, and say in a year's time, your wife will have a son. And Sarah, upon hearing that, laughs. And a year later, indeed, she gives birth to a son, and they name him Isaac, which means laughter. God fulfills God's promises. We may make promises all the time, and as much as we may want to fulfill them, we sometimes don't. But God is a keeper of promises. And God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would be the ancestors of a multitude, more numerous than the stars, more numerous than they could ever believe. And it's true. It came to pass, just as God said, but in God's own time. And the people throughout the generations, as they saw life sometimes turn against them, wondered when God was going to send them a Messiah. And the years passed, and the years passed, and the years passed, until finally God fulfilled God's promise. And we see that in Jesus, who we call the Christ, the Anointed One. But we hear in today's gospel that they wanted a different sort of Messiah. They didn't want one who was going to suffer and die. And Peter rebukes Jesus. And Jesus in turn rebukes him and says, you are thinking only in a human way, not in the ways of God. This is what we need to remember, that God's ways are not our ways. God's timing is not our timing. But God keeps God's promises. God's faithfulness is forever, for all generations. Amen. Let us join together in our Lenten hymn of the day, God of Our Life. You'll find it in your bulletin.
Thank you.
Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need.
We turn to you for meaning, Holy Lord God. Nurture in your children the gifts of the Spirit poured out in baptism, and let the mind of Christ guide the church. Give wisdom and discernment to our bishops, pastors, deacons, teachers, and leaders. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We turn to you for renewal. Save lives and ecosystems threatened by pollution and a changing climate. Cleanse the earth's waters and restore the soil. Preserve rainforests, deserts, and wildlife. The generations to come may cherish your creation. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
We turn to you for justice. Uphold the worth and dignity of every person, especially any who experienced hatred and rejection because of gender, ability, sexual orientation, color, ethnicity, or religion. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We turn to you for healing. Send compassionate helpers to any who suffer because of war and violence. Shelter unhoused people. Befriend those who are lonely. Bring hope to any in despair and console the bereaved. We pray especially for those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
We turn to you for purpose. Remind us of your faithfulness to this congregation. Increase our trust in your guidance and give us near the cross. Grant that acts of service will express Christ's sacrificial love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We turn to you for peace. We honor the saints who lived in service to others. Inspire us by their example until you gather us into your kingdom. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. Let us pray.
Jesus, you are the bread and body and the host of this meal. Bless these gifts that we have gathered, that all people may know your goodness. Feed us not only with the gifts of you, but with hunger for justice and peace. We pray this in your name. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
Let's pray.
Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten liturgy. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms the making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts, through Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord. Amen.
As you go out into the world to tell of the wonders of God's love, receive this blessing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our sending hymn number 324, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. Thanks be to God.